I think what we're learning today is there's a lot of people who are in the haze and are in the fog of children in some ways. And so if you see a chair next to you, and it's just kind of one chair, since it's a marriage conference, let's see if we can make two chairs in places. If you can kind of scoot to the center too, that'd be helpful. And that way the edges for people who are just kind of sneaking in here. And then there are some tables in the back as well. Like, so if you're kind of like, hey, why not? We'll sit on a table. I'm not beyond that. If you're one of those people that's just going to fall asleep and you know that now and you go, I'm just going to need a stand, heck, we can do standing room only as well. But I think hopefully we're close on chairs. And also, if you want to, on the special couple bench right here in front too, that's another little spot. So we'll see how it works. Well, tell me this. I guess real quick introduction of us, and then my wife's going to kind of introduce the rest of our family to you, but my name is Lance Sisko, and I get the cool privilege of being the director of newly married ministry here at Watermark. And what that entails is really predominantly foundation groups, and so those are our really community groups for newly married couples here at Watermark. And then we also do expecting parent class, which has been really fun to get to step in there and kind of come alongside some parents as they're getting rolling. But this is my wife, Mandy, and yes, please. Thank you. The back, little back row posse there. Hey, and so we have been married just over 10 years. We got married back in 2002. We met the summer of 2000 at Pine Cove Camps. And man, just, yeah, I was smitten with this girl pretty quick, like. Oh, okay. But anyway, and we just moved here to Dallas about a year ago to kind of step into this new role here. And so it's exciting for us to be a part of this. It's exciting for us when it comes to the conference just to see what we kind of had been envisioning this whole time of couples who would say, man, we are going to take a weekend and we are going to be intentional in our marriages. And I think our hope is that it isn't just a weekend, that you would take this event and it would begin a process of you guys living intentionally together. And so, you know, we're going to just kind of roll out some stuff today that we feel like in our own marriage that has been really helpful. At the same time, like, we don't have it figured all figured out. We are, like I said, in the fog with all of you, and from time to time left going, what is going on with my kids? And so if I could just kind of get a show of hands real quick, how many of you guys have like babies? Like, kind of, you know, they're, hey, pretty new to this, we've stepped in, and you're like, you're in this place of like, what in the world? Where is my sleep, right? And why does he do that?
And all the people that raise their hand feel like they're missing something today. Like, wait, there's usually something attached to me, or I'm carrying it, or
yeah, where's the diaper bag? I don't have a diaper bag. Yes, yeah. How many of you guys would say we're kind of in the toddler stage, right? So there's a lot. There we go. Okay,
that's why you're here.
That's where.
Wish we had something for you.
We do. Yeah, that's like, that's the breakout. Yeah, we didn't talk a lot before. We were busy parenting kids, and no, I'm kidding. Yeah, we do. So let's start here. What if we spent approximately 3 minutes inside of the head of your 2-year-old? Okay, so I want to see if you can kind of hang with me in this. And so each of these emotions lasts about 3 seconds. Okay, so get ready. Here we go. I want to play with Daddy's phone. I want to put on Mommy's shoes. Get Mommy's shoes off my feet now! I want to open and close the thermostat. I want to turn off the light in the microwave. Is there anyone here with a phone I haven't played with yet? I need to push some stinking buttons. I want to pick up the cat by its head. I want to throw all the toothbrushes in the sink. Holy crap, I'm starving. Cheddar bunnies? I hate fruit. I want out of my chair. I want to play with the iPad. I want to go outside. No, I want to turn the heat on. I want to take my pants off. Man, I don't like the shirt I'm wearing. I want to play with Mommy's phone. I need to push more buttons. I'm thirsty. No, not for that. Yes, perfect. Juice box. I'm going to squeeze this thing all over myself. Where's Daddy? Where's the cat? Where's Mommy? Seriously, where's Mommy? Oh my God, I think Mommy left forever. Okay, there's Mommy. I want to play with her phone. I'm hungry again. Never mind. I just remember not liking these pants. Get them off! Stop taking my pants off! Wow, I'm starving. I want peas, but I don't know how to tell anyone. Finally, peas! I love throwing these. Why do I still have these pants on? Oh, look, a new person. I wonder if they have a phone. I'm tired. I'm not tired. I want to go for a walk. but I don't want to go outside. No, not inside either. I need to push some buttons right now. I hate this diaper. My eyes itch. Wow, is this my toe? Stop trying to take my pants off. I hate these pants. This shirt itches. I'm tired. Stop asking if I'm tired. Where's that toy that goes beep? I want to take a bath in my clothes. Put on my favorite song. Where is the cat? What is up with my shirt? Did I just hear a dog bark? You did not just try to take my shirt off again. I want to see a dog. No, not outside. I want to see a dog in sock. I peed. I'm bored. Right? I mean, that's it.
And that's why y'all are so tired.
Yeah. And if you've got babies and you're kind of like, why is this thing crying? Like, that's what it's thinking, right? It's just on a little bit smaller level. It's what's going on in its brain. So, yeah, it's wild town for sure. So that, just assuring you, like, that's our right now. Mm-hmm. And I think that's probably the case for a lot of you guys. Mm-hmm. And so we just want to kind of share just our family and then share stories as well. So.
And we feel like if we can just validate the fact that your life is insane for you and that you're not alone in this journey, then we've done our job and you can leave going, oh, okay, we're not totally crazy. They're the same way, which is kind of what we're going to introduce you to.
Yeah, if you don't leave here with hope that the fact that this room was packed and there are other people who are in the exact same place that you are. Yeah. And man, that feeling of isolation that I think comes to us sometimes when we're parents and we go, we're doing this all wrong. I'm going to mess them up, you know? It gets to you. Mm-hmm. And so hopefully, even as you sit here, before we've said anything, there's encouragement that there are other people in this room who feel the same way, and there are other people in the same room that desire to come alongside, love their kids well, but also work on their marriages. So it's cool. Amen.
So we're going to introduce you to our family. We have some pictures to show you. We had our first child in 2005. Her name is Allie, and she is 7 now, but she's the one in the pink hat. And our only girl. And then in 2006, and yes, that was 13 months later, we had Caleb.
It was my fault. So, yep.
I do totally blame
him. Go ahead and take that one.
That'll be a different breakout session.
Yeah, smoking hot monogamy. It's in the worship center.
And he is, he's 6 now. And then a couple years later, we thought, okay, let's just round out the family because we thought we were in control of that, and let's just have 3 and get it over with as quickly as possible and so that they can be off to college and we can have our lives together again. Yeah. That honestly was my thought. Then we had Riley in 2009, and then the Lord was like, guess what? You're not done. And in a very surprising manner, we had Griffin in 2011.
How long were you pregnant with him before you said anything?
I waited 11 weeks to tell my husband I was pregnant.
Yeah. Awesome. And so she waits for like the perfect moment, which turns into being just, you know, driving in the car. And my friend had found out that that they were having triplets. They thought they were having twins. And so that day he got a sign. He sends me this text. And he goes, dude, not twins, triplets. And I was like, bull. You know, because it was one of those times where he had 2 girls. They were trying to have that last, you know, just one more try. Let's have a boy. And you got 3 boys, buddy. Have fun with that. And so I kept telling her, I was like, babe, like I am just, man, I'm so, it's the time like this where I'm glad we're done. And so, yeah, don't ever say that. And so I say that, and she goes, I'm so pregnant right now. You know, it's like, all right. And I ran into the car in front of us, and then
he had a really good response, way better than I thought. I had built it up to be like, he was going to be like, what? How'd this happen?
Yeah. So what's crazy about our kids, so that Allie, the oldest, and then Riley, those are they're our brunette kids. Those are the kids that we were like, okay, let's have kids. Caleb and Griffin were the 2 that we were just like, man, the Lord knew we needed it more than we did. And what's wild about it right now is that Allie and Riley are kids that go, where's the line so I can jump over it? They're our disobedient children. They're crazy, but they're awesome at the same time. And then and some of you guys, we know, yeah. Caleb and Griffin, on the other hand, are like our obedient, yes, Father, whatever you tell us, we will do. You know, and it's like.
And they're both blonde, so it's like our brunette kids are our wild ones.
Yeah, so it's just a reminder that, you know, the Lord provides better than we think we can ourselves. It's continually before us. But,
so true.
Yeah, so anyway, that's them then. This is them now. So, or I guess a year ago,
yeah,
probably. But yeah, so fun.
Anybody else have a hard time getting family pictures when you have children?
Yeah.
So that's a year old.
Yeah, I think we bought helium balloons to get that picture shoot to happen. We took marshmallows. And then still, Griffin's like, hey, mom, what's going on? Yeah. So quite honestly, like, I think the feelings that we have toward parenthood, one, incredible blessing, right? So there's going to be a lot of things that we go, man, kids are hard and they are tough on a marriage. But what we will tell you is that, I mean, there are so many days where I walk in and I just go, thank you, Lord. My kids run and they say, Daddy, right? They run in that door and it's like, snag you. Sometimes they hit you where you don't want to be hit. But you're like, yes, this is great. Awesome, you know? Or those driving away in the mornings and they're like, we love you, Dad. You know, and give you the little, you're like, love being a dad, right? But there are also those times where you just go like, what's going on in our world, right? I mean, even last night, so we were up here at the conference, Mandy got home late, and so the babysitter who was there with our four kids, it's funny, she shows up to our house, she used to work for us at camp, and she hadn't seen us since 06 when we had Allie. And so she walks in, the first thing she says to Mandy is like, you have four kids. Like, it was like, I remember.
Surprise!
Yeah. I think I signed up for one. And so she had a crazy night with our kids. So just last night at bedtime, the toilet wouldn't flush. So our 7-year-old lifted the top of the toilet off, was trying to fix the chain. As she fixed the chain, we have one of those like plug-in wax Cincy. Is that what they're called? Sorry, you can have my man card. But yeah, she drills it with her elbow. Wax gets in her hair. And so that's awesome. So they're trying to like, she's trying to comb
that
out.
She got her money's worth last night.
She
that
did.
Babysitter.
Yeah. So after she got done putting the big kids to bed, she went back in to check on Griffin. She climbs in. Griffin's our youngest.
She
so he's
climb in.
Almost
she
two.
Walked in.
That's good. Yeah.
Yeah.
Good reminder. So she walks into the room, kind of walks in there. She looks in his crib, and he's not there. And she says, she just was like, oh my God, I lost a baby. What in the world? And so she's like, got her iPhone on, and she's like trying to look through the room.
She's looking all over the carpet, like, where'd he go? Where'd he go? And she said it was only like 5 seconds, but it felt like an eternity. She was like, I lost a baby.
And so we have a guest bed in there, but we had pulled the mattress out so the kids could do a fun sleepover together in one room. And so he's like up on just the wood of this bed, like
just dead asleep on a wood platform.
Yeah. So tuckered out.
Incredible.
But those are the moments we have. I mean, we've had moments where when we had three little ones, we were like, oh, it'd be a great idea. Let's, instead of doing doctor's appointments like this week and then 2 weeks later and then a third week, we were like, why don't we put it all together? You know, it's one shot. Let's go. And then we'll go in together. It's 3-on-2. We can make this thing happen.
I told Lance, I said, if you go with me, we can each manage 2 children. We can get 4 doctor's appointments done in 2 hours.
Yeah.
It sounded like a really good idea.
Yeah. So we get out of the car, you know, it's like, Bash Brothers pump, you know, it's like, let's do this. And we go in, and we start the whole appointment, and I don't remember who we started with. I think we started with Allie. So Allie gets done first. It's like, okay, let's do all this. That's awesome. This is great, you know. And then all of a sudden, it's like, let's move to, you know, to Caleb, and Caleb starts to get his stuff done. And we're like, this is going really well. And then it, like, transitioned to Riley. And so the very end, you're just like, okay, what could go wrong now? But in there, Caleb just started getting, you know, really just unsettled. And so I began to pick him up, and he's crying and bawling, and Mandy's trying to hold Riley down, and Allie's just kind of like this. She's one of those kids in the doctor's office, and like, spin me, you know, spin. And so she's like spinning around and everything. And so I'm trying to hold Caleb. He's crying. Mandy's got kind of Riley in the stroller, and she's doing this with her arm, kind of like just please stop crying. I'm trying to listen to the doctor. And so I've got Caleb, and I'm doing this with him, like, because he's, like, finally starting to laugh. And as I bring him back up, Mandy comes back at the same time, and it drills his tooth. So I have this incredible intolerance for pain and blood and those types of things. And so I...
And I have an intolerance for husbands that don't have a pain tolerance.
Yeah. So, and that, so when we said those vows, right, that was future love. So I pull him up, you know, he comes to me, and all of a sudden, like, I look, and his tooth is, like, bent backwards. I'm like, oh, my gosh. And I kid you not, I was like, I have damaged him for life. Like, that it doesn't even enter my mind that he's going to lose that tooth. It's like, good, the rest of his life, the kid has Billy Bob teeth, you know? And so as I'm holding him, sitting there, I'm like, gosh, I'm just an awful father, and I'm trying to hold him, I'm bouncing him on my leg, and, you know, I'm like, oh, buddy, I'm so sorry. And I look at his tooth again, and I go, And it got to the point where I was like, I go, babe, and I put my chin, like, on his shoulder just to try to, like, hold him on me. And I was like, babe, I'm going to pass out. Like, you got to take it. So.
I now have three crying children and a husband laying on the floor. And the doctor comes back in and he was like, what happened?
Yeah.
And I said, I told him the whole story and he goes, I'll be right back. And he came back with four donuts.
Yeah.
One for all the kids and one for my husband.
Yeah. And so by the time he comes back in, I'm like on the floor, laying down, and Allie, for some reason, like, oh, Daddy, so sorry, like curls up on me, like fetal style. I'm just like, can this just end? Like, give us the shots, please.
It was awful.
But some of y'all have been there, right? Like, that's your everyday. Like, you just go, absolutely. Like, for every story we tell, you're like, I've got two or three that don't even come close to comparing. And so while parenting is great, it's a blessing, and it leads to laughter now, like, in the midst of it, it's hard, right? And there's just those times where you feel hopeless, and yet your kids are like, you know, they're running around like crazy, and there's nothing they can't do. Like, literally, like, there's times you're like, will he jump off of that? I think he might. You know, it's like, this is scary. And so you've got that. You've got those feelings that you have where you're tired. You're exhausted, and you're like, why are my kids gaining energy as the day goes on? And you're like, I'm losing it. They're picking it up from me somehow. And then there's the guilt, right? I don't know if you feel that, but I mean, the guilt and the worry. Like, there are just so many times where I'm like, man, am I doing this right? Like, is this really it? And I know for me, like, the idea or the dream of having children was like, man, opportunity to disciple kids. And what I don't think I realize with young kids is really, like, how much of that spiritual window just, it opens and closes so quickly. And so for us, just daily being intentional in those areas, but recognizing the fact that, man, in some ways, my kid just wants me to play Transformers with him. Right? And I need to be okay with that. Now, granted, I hope I can be Blades, because that's the helicopter, right? And you don't have to get on your knees and, like, crawl around like this, but it's just kind of like, yeah, dude, you know, here he comes, great, let's do it. But like, that's the life we have right now. And I think it's easy in the midst of that, especially, you know, as you look at your wife and you sit there and you go, man, what's become of us? And is there hope? I think there is. Just let's sit in that for a little bit and go, man, am I screwing this up? Have I damaged them? And a lot of times we get so consumed in how what we've done has impacted our children that we miss something even important than that.
Mm-hmm. That the biggest damage that's happening is really your relationship with each other, because there's so much distraction going on around you. And you guys know it's true, or you wouldn't be sitting in this room wondering how you can make your marriage a priority with small kids. So the question that we have been asking for the last 7 years is just like, is this it? Like, is this just our new normal is just insanity? Like, that's just what we have to swallow. Let's see if any of the women in the room can relate to this. This is pretty much my day. Wake up, make lunches, change diapers, grocery shop, empty the dishwasher, run a load or two of laundry, pick up the kids from school, prep dinner, help somebody with homework. Husband comes home, quick kiss. Okay. Babs. Dishes, bedtime stories, prayers, kisses, throw yourself in bed exhausted, wake up, do it again. I mean, huh.
Yeah.
You just wonder, like, is that it? This is what life's come to?
Yeah. Is this our new normal? And you begin to kind of go, I get it now. Like, that's why the old people are sitting together at Luby's completely silent. Yeah, I mean, that's what happens. But as we sit here, what I'll tell you, like, there's hope, right? Like, there is hope, and there's something you can do about it. But here's the deal: you have to do it. Like, no one else is going to do this for you. You're the one that has to make this decision to say, you know what? That's not going to be us. It won't be us. And so you've got to make that decision. And here it is. It's a decision what I will tell you is that to do this, you're going to have to become something that you never wanted to be, I think. And you're going to have to do something that you never thought you'd do. And here's what it is. You got to choose to be a cheater. Okay? You've got to choose to be a cheater. So if you're in the note-taking time, write that down. You've got to choose to be a cheater. And honestly, like, you're already doing this. You maybe just don't know it, okay? You're already cheating things. And so what you realize very quickly when you have kids and you have a marriage and you have a job and you have friendships and all these other things, you recognize really quickly, I can't do it all. I can't. Like, there's no possible way. And so when you come to that place of understanding and you realize I can't do it all, then you come to a place where you go, okay, I have got to cheat something. And you see, what happens is all too often we cheat the important rather than the urgent, right? Those urgent needs that just come up, you go boom, boom, boom. And so we cheat the things that are most important, our spouse, over the things that are the kind of the urgent. And so for men, gosh, where do we fall into this? Man, it's work, right? There's this desire in us to provide and to protect. And so, man, we jump full on into this. And quite honestly, we probably get the least back a lot of times from the relationships at work, and yet we put the most into them, right? We do. And that's an area where, and we cheat the things that are important. And what I'm not telling you, I'm not saying, hey, don't work hard. So if you wrote out of here and you're like, I'll show my boss that on Monday, like, please don't, because I don't want the emails when you're fired, okay? Don't do that. The other places we cheat, man, is recreation, right? Man, I got to play this golf game. I got to jump in with that. Man, fantasy football. I watched a video of a guy who was getting married. It was a news story. And they interviewed this guy, and it's just, you know, he was talking about his wife, and like, well, she just has to understand, like, for football season on Sundays, this is what we do, and she better like it, you know? And I'm like, man, what a gem. She is blessed, you know? It's like, awesome. And so while you would say, hey, I'm not, like, addicted to that, like, to fantasy football, and that's not, like, my everything, like, there can be bunches of little tiny things, and this isn't all-inclusive for you as men, but these are just some areas where you go, man, this is probably where I'm cheating a little.
Mm-hmm. And for women, we're cheating on our spouse with our kids. We're giving the best of our affection, our creativity, our time, and our energy to our children rather than our spouse, and we're cheating on our spouse with our home and the things we do in our home, the cooking and the cleaning. We busy ourselves with that instead of busying ourselves investing into the relationship that's the most important.
Yeah. And so today, really, as we look at this, I go, man, so, okay, great. I've got this. I see that I need to be a cheater. What we want to talk through today is just, okay, so how do we avoid a chaos-filled new normal? How do we come to that place where we go, okay, that will not be us. We're not going to be the couple at Luby's getting the Luann of fish and the carrots with raisins and what it, you know what, come on, y'all know what I'm talking about. No? Golden Corral, the buffet, there. You're not going to be that person. And so today, you know, we want you to recognize the fact that the one person you cannot cheat in all this is your spouse. That your spouse, that relationship with her, that is the most unique relationship that you'll ever have. It is. There's no other relationship like it. It's a permanent relationship. The Bible talks about this idea, the fact that, you know, you're to strive for oneness. You heard that message last night, right? It is a permanence there. Whereas with your kids, there's a command to them then to someday to leave your father and mother and to cleave. So I tell you, maybe that freaks you out a little bit, but your kids are going to leave you one day. And you're not in control of when that happens, right? And so what we would tell you is you've got to really hone in on your spouse, to recognize that this is God's design. And the fact that of all the things to cheat, your spouse can't be it. And so today, we're going to talk through just three ways to keep your spouse from being cheated. And these are things that, again, we would just say, hey, we haven't figured this all out. But there are things that as we've kind of done this life together, we've kind of gone, ah, yes. And so a lot of this comes out of our own cheating. Sometimes it's cheating well. Sometimes it's cheating the wrong things. And so hopefully in the midst of our story, you'll resonate. But there also will be some things that you go, wow, this is helpful for us. So
the first way to keep your spouse from being cheated is just to communicate intentionally. And we want to dive into that a little bit deeper and give you some practical ways to do that and not just this lofty, like, hey, be sure you communicate.
Because you've been hearing that from pre-marriage, right? Like all the way through. And you're like, yeah, that'll be easy. We do that now.
Yeah, we can't talk because the kids are screaming all the time. Yeah. So, but really the challenge here, the biggest, deepest challenge is to know your spouse's heart really well and to be sure that you're connecting on a on a heart level, not just like sometimes, because this is true for us. Sometimes we get in the process of just like, how was your day? And we download on daily things. I tell him all the things the kids did. He tells me things that happened at work. We downloaded there. That's great. Go to bed. That tells us nothing about how we are doing, right? And so the challenge on communicating well isn't just downloading the day. It's downloading like where we are with each other, where we are, how we're feeling emotionally on different things. And so just delving a little bit deeper past the this is what happened today is to know each other's hearts.
Yeah, and I think the hard part for us as men there is we think, oh, well, we sat and watched the game together. And yeah, I knew she was doing fine. And then you come home and she's like, I'm done. I can't do it anymore. And you're like, how did we, wait, we just watched the game and we had popcorn and hot tamales and that, wasn't that intentional? And no, it's like, no, you, intentional conversation where you're talking about the different needs and stuff that you guys have. Discuss expectations, right? Expectations are huge. And so for us, when it comes to our family, when it comes to our marriage, the best thing we can do is just talk through expectations when it comes to, man, traveling anywhere. If we set out and be like, okay, this is going to be the best trip ever, you know, it's like, we've got DVDs. I mean, we went to Estes Park Family Camp and this last summer, and on the way home, like literally 15 minutes into the trip, Griffin pukes, like all over his car seat. It's in the, the straps. It's like just what we thought, 14 hours of fury, you know, like him just coming back. And then like everybody starts to get sick. Like, so the whole way back is just this like joyride of like,
who's going to puke next?
Yeah, wipes. I don't even know how many we went through. Yeah, but just recognize the fact that expectations. So we talk about that when we travel. We talk about expectations going into the week. Hey, what's your week look like? Okay, great. So we can find those areas where you're like, hey, this is, we're going to have some rubs here. Because look, dad's gone late at night and he's gone the next morning early. Your kids are, she'll tell me all the time, like, hey, I'm concerned a little bit. Like, the kids aren't going to see you much here. So just what are we going to do on the front end of that? What is our plan then for on the back end of that to say, okay, let's make sure we get some intentional time with them and with one another even before we go into this. Holidays, another one, huge.
And weekends. I think weekends are huge. Like, hey, what are you wanting to do this weekend? What are you wanting to get done? Especially just for me to ask as a wife, you know, or what do you want to accomplish this weekend that will make it feel like a good weekend to you? And if it's, you know, something recreational, then I want to give him that time. If it's he wants to get a project done, then I want to make sure that I'm kind of helping rein the kids so he can get a project done. If it's, you know, I want to go to the park with everybody, I want to be all together, then that's great too. And he does the same for me. So it's like, I haven't been in God's Word in 3 days. I would love to just, you know, get away and read my Bible for a little bit or something like that. So I think asking each other expectations on the weekend is huge.
Yeah. And just recognizing these are constantly changing. Your expectations a lot of times, especially in this season, because your kids are constantly changing and your work schedules are constantly changing. And so as you look around, you're going, I feel like I got this down. Love languages. How many of y'all experience the fact that my wife or my spouse's love language has changed since children? Anybody?
You know what I'm talking about? There's got to be more.
Well, maybe they don't love languages. Maybe that's where I lost you. But yeah, like, so for us, that's just the way that you feel loved. So for us, Mandy's, like, man, acts of service, like, just started to skyrocket for her once we got kids.
So many kids. Do something.
Yeah. So, like, yeah, emptying the dishwasher, you know, it's just one of those simple tasks. You're like, you know, you empty it, and then you put the dirty stuff in, and all of a sudden she's like, hey.
Hey, you.
Yeah. I'm like,
that was awesome.
You know, and I'm like, yeah, I did do pretty well there, right? But talking through those things, I think is key. Conflict is hard with kids because you don't have that time, just the two of you, to go, man, we really got to talk all this out, right? I mean, there was a week for us where we had a kid who ate, well, this is not even a week. This is like an hour or two. We had a kid who ate penicillin, like a whole bottle of penicillin. We had our 3-year-old walking around with a huge knife. Do you remember this? And we I think we called...
Sounds like a normal day in the system.
Yes. I mean, I think we called poison control like twice in that same day. It's like,
she's,
I know you
good,
probably have
our
number. And if you work for that, like, you know, we've moved past that. But it is one of those things where you're like, if you have this huge argument and your kids have all these needs around you, like, you can't expect that you're going to be able to walk through all of that the way that you normally do. And so for me, I love to talk things through. I love to get it over with. Manny needs time to process. You guys have got to come to that place. So for her, she actually probably enjoys the fact that, okay, we'll put that off till later. For me, it drives me nuts. Because then I go to work, I'm like, oh, I got to you know, I feel really bad. Like, we're in conflict, and I want to resolve it. And so there's just times where we can just simply say, hey, I love you, I am for you, and we are going to talk this through. And you set a time then later on down the road that you go, we're going to come back to this, and we'll talk through it. And so a lot of times for us, that happens after our kids go to bed. But there are those times where on the way to work, I get those just times where I go, this is lose-lose. I don't leave for work, I'm late for a meeting, or someone that someone needs me, or hey, I've got to meet a leader for something. And those are my types of things. For you, you probably have your own different things. And then there's if I do leave, then here's my wife who's dying on the vine, holding a baby, the other one's dragging by her leg, and we're trying to get kids out to school. And so it's in those moments that, man, where I just feel the most lost and the most, how do we do this? And so what's helped us is just communicating that. Hey, we will talk this through. We are for each other, and we're going to move kind of beyond it. And so I think that's huge. I think being positive, you know, what you don't say is also important when it comes to communication, your nonverbal communication and the way you respond in that way too. So,
yeah, and just a couple of thoughts too on sometimes conflict can be delayed, and sometimes you know if I don't say something right now, then I won't ever bring it up again if you're that kind of person, and I'm kind of that kind of person. I kind of am just like, oh, I'll get over it myself. And so I'm learning to be better about saying, that really bothered me. And if I can just say it out loud, like, hey, that really bothered me, then we can actually move past it and, like, really start to work on things and grow in areas, and he can learn from whatever was bothering me and vice versa. But there was one time that we were traveling in the car. We're going to be in the car together for, like, 6 hours. And I was like, I can't even tell you what it was about. That's how big a deal it was. It was not that big a deal, but I just remember thinking, oh my gosh, stop talking. And he looked at me when I didn't respond at some point. I said, I'm sorry, you're just really bothering me right now.
Yeah. And I think he actually said, I don't even like you right now.
Oh, I did say that.
I was like, done.
But sometimes it's healthy to say it right away too. And so it's just finding that balance of timeliness. Like, is this something that we really need to delve in later and talk about, or is this something that I can just go, this is totally bugging me, and we need to talk it through now.
Yeah. I think in that too, men, don't pick on your wife, okay? She's been battered and abused the whole day by these children who are spitting food out at her, and nothing is right. And for you to come home and be like, oh, this is cold, you know, or it's just like, don't pick on her.
I think, in Job 6, verse 26, it talks about knowing when words are wind, and it's really important for both men and women to know, to realize, like, you're exhausted, you didn't mean what you said, I can't take that and run with it because you're tired or you're exhausted or you're hurt right now. And I think that's a rule of thumb that I try to really stick to, is just like, okay, sometimes words are wind and they just need to fly past me, and I don't even need to pay 2 cents of attention to it because I know him, I know he's for me, I know he loves me, and so we can move on without even having to go there. Mm-hmm. You want to encourage one another as much as possible. I think words of affirmation are huge when you're busy and when there's lots of kids around. It just helps to know, like, that you're for each other and that you're encouraging each other. I kind of have a trick that it's not a trick, but I try to think most days, I'm usually cooking dinner when he comes home, and while I'm cooking dinner, I try to make it a rule of thumb to be thinking that my husband had a harder day than me. My husband had a harder day than me. My husband had a harder day than me. And telling myself that helps me to be able to welcome him home in a better manner, to be excited that he's there, to remember to ask him how his day was and to care about what went through, instead of, I've had the hardest day, I've had the hardest day, I've had the hardest day, and I just want you to take the kids when you come home and give me a break and whatever, just to try to tell myself, my husband has had a harder day than me. How can I love him when he comes home?
Yeah. So. You want to touch on one of the ways that we try to communicate well is we do weekly meetings. And so I don't know what night would work well for you guys, but we do Sunday night is when we try to get together. We pull out schedules. We talk about the kids' week. We talk about our week. We just, again, just try to say, hey, where are you? Where's your concerns this week? Or how can I pray for you this week? This is a huge one for us to just really be able to talk through that and come to just a place where we have an understanding of what each other are going to be kind of heading into this week, knowing full well that there are going to be a lot of areas we're going to have to be flexible as well.
And this is a good time to keep each other accountable. There's a lot of times that we look at our schedule and our calendar for the next week and we go, whoa, we have not scheduled in any margin. There's no margin here. Like if something goes wrong or someone gets sick, we are stressed out family if you looked at our calendar next week. And so then it's kind of like, okay, what can we say no to next? What do we need to pull out of next week? Because there's not enough margin for things to go wrong or haywire here. And that has helped us so much, especially with every kid we've added. There needs to be more margin for every child you have, because there just is more things that happen, more things that go crazy, and it will help your life a lot if you have enough margin for things to go wrong, for interruptions to happen.
Yeah. And I think, you know, in that with the margin piece, you know, we, we've recognized that there are times where we miss that meeting. And there's a noted difference in the way our week goes when we miss it, and we do miss it. So give yourself grace there. If you're kind of like walking out of here, like every week, like where's the meeting? Why didn't we have the meeting? Like, come on. Like, give yourself grace, right? Because we miss that. But I think what you'll notice is like, there's just a noticeable difference, a noticeable change when we don't do that well. Okay? So that's number one, communicate intentionally. Second one is this, serve one another. You've heard this before, so it's kind of like, bah, 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 wah, 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 right? Little Charlie Brown. But serve one another. I will tell you that probably one of the most key marriage verses that I ever feel like I've come across and really tried to put to memory is Philippians 2, 3 through 4. And Philippians 2, 3 through 4 says, do nothing out of selfish ambition, right? But in humility, consider one another as more important than yourselves. It says, have this attitude in yourselves that was the same... Have this attitude in yourselves, which is also in Christ Jesus, who although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but he humbled himself, making himself nothing, becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. And just recognize the fact, man, I have got to die to me. And I die to me because Christ died for me. And I get to go first because Christ went first. So you're not waiting around to serve one another until your spouse does it right. Okay? You're not waiting around. You're going first. And so for us as men, I would say, man, go first. Serve your wife. Look for opportunities to do that, especially in those seasons when you go, this is going to be a rough week for her. And her rough patch, it's Wednesday. And I know that. So how am I going to come alongside her? Is it, you know, am I going to surprise her with a fun lunch together? Are there, you know, what can I do around the house just to take care of things? I mean, the biggest thing for her, too, and when she does get away, and it's so easy, like, okay, you're going on girl time. And so for me, it's easy for me to go, okay, I'm spent. You know, kids, I get the kids in bed all by myself, so it's 4-on-1, which is never good defensively. And so I recognize the fact that, okay, when I get done with that, the only thing I want to do is put my feet up, and I want to read and fall asleep doing that, or I want to watch a game on the TV. But I have tried to train myself to go, no, you go to the kitchen, and you do the dishwasher, or you do the dishes, or if there's laundry waiting, try to do that. And man, I stink at that a lot. And, but the times I do, like, it's cool to see. I feel like how the Lord comes alongside in that and just kind of helps out in those times. But so to serve one another well. So
there's some really good intentional ways. These are just things that we've done, and you may have some great ideas too. But he leaves sticky notes around the house for me all the time to find just randomly, and I love that. It's just words of affirmation again, encouragement, and reminding me that even though I'm at home all day long with the kids, that he's still thinking about the fact that I'm at home, and he wants to surprise me in those ways.
And just real quick, some of you wives hate sticky notes, so husbands, find out what blesses your wife. Like that, some moms would be like, that would freak me out if you did that. Like, notes. I'm trying to keep this place clean, right? So...
We like to, he made me a hint box for Christmas, and he likes for me to write down ways that I would feel loved, and he checks it every once in a while, and I'll pull out ideas, and that's kind of fun for me too, because then he's not guessing on what might bless me, but it's actually just, like, really, I think last week I wrote, just surprise me with coffee, and on Valentine's Day I got coffee in the morning, and that was just such a treat and such a good way to be encouraged. When he travels, I stick notes in his bag to find, I think one way that you could really bless each other is when you check in the afternoon at some point, just to be like, hey, honey, don't come straight home. Go do something fun. Just Just go do something that you would enjoy and come home after the kids are in bed. Is just such a blessing. Or for a husband to say to a wife or vice versa, just to give somebody the Saturday morning off, like, hey, you sleep in, I'm getting up with the kids, don't come out of the room, you know, just retreat and stay in there for a while. I think text messages during the day are really good and important. There's just all sorts of fun little things. I found a really fun website that I'd love to share with the girls. It's called thedatingdivas.com. I don't know if you've ever visited there, but I think it's a couple of women that write on there, and they just have such fun ideas. And some of them are kind of like bigger ideas that you'd want to do for a special occasion, and some of them are just really fun things just to surprise your husband with that are kind of creative. So I like that website.
That's cool. All right. You want to jump into the next one?
Okay, number three is do life together. And this is just kind of the fun part, like remembering that you're on the same team, that you got married to be together, and that you want to have fun together. There's an enemy, and he is alive and active, but it's not the person sitting next to you today. Although it feels like it on certain days where you're like, oh my goodness, you are not for me. You are so against me. But 1 Peter 5:8 tells us that it's the devil that wants to steal, kill, and destroy. And he is after your marriage because that is going to be after your legacy. And that is going to impact your children and your children's children. And so if he can destroy the two of you, then he's got a lifetime worth of relationships that he's destroyed.
Yeah. I think in that, I mean, obviously, like, there are times where, like, the two of us together where we are just, I mean, it's like we're right in each other's eyes, and we go, we are on the same team. And I know that almost sounds corny, it almost sounds ridiculous, but what it reminds me of, it points me back to Scripture, and it points me back to go, okay, she's not the enemy. There is an enemy. It's not her. It's not my kids. Now, the crazy thing about your kids is they're not naturally going to be for your marriage, right? I'm sure you guys feel that. You're kind of like, man, it is if they are just against this, right?
You're trying to go on a date night, and they're like, no, please don't leave me.
Yeah.
Like they're going to die.
Yeah, or even Sunday mornings for us sometimes with kid drop-off, you're like, oh, my gosh, just go in the room, kid. Like, you love it when you leave. Like, I don't get this every, you know, and I'm just wanting to be with my wife then at that point in time. But those types of things happen. And so just recognize the fact that, hey, they're not naturally going to think that way, but you can help them grow in that area. And what's so great about our 7-year-old, so Allie, you know, for a long time, it was tears every time we left. And now, as we leave, I kid you not, like, we'll sit there, we'll go to leave, we'll give kids hugs and kisses, and then we'll go to leave, and she goes, I hope you guys have fun on your date night, you know, and she's always like, but now she's even got to the point where she goes, Dad, what are you and Mom doing on your date? You know, I'm like, that's awesome. And the next morning at breakfast, she's sitting there at the breakfast table. And this isn't all the time, so before, I don't want you to think like, wow, that little girl is special. She is. but it is so cool to see her be like, man, you know, we'll come in the morning and she just goes, what, did you guys have fun? Like, how was it? You know, and you're like, okay, like our kids are getting it. And as they start to become about your marriage, what's so great in that is I think our kids begin to realize, okay, when Mom and Dad are happy, I feel happy. When Mom and Dad feel secure, like, I feel secure. And so it's really cool to see. And so for those of you with young kids, like, years ago, man, we're just not there yet. I go, man, the first, like, 6-7 years of my life with our daughter, I was just like, what is anything? Like, are we picking up anything? You know, are we getting any traction? And so if some of you are like, when does that happen? You know, we're at 18 months, and I'm like, no, kidding. Like, there's hope, but you just, it's like that, you know, a flywheel. You just keep hitting it, right? Over and over again with truth. And you just keep going, okay. And really, they're learning from you, right? Your marriage should be raising your kids. It should. They should see your love for the Lord. They should see your pursuit of Him. And then in that, they go, Mom and Dad are running after Him. I'd love to do that too. So
I think it's important, too, to be praying about that area of your life. And I say this very carefully because I would say that our prayer life is probably the weakest area in our marriage. We are not very good about praying together. So make sure and hear that because I don't want to seem like somebody I'm not. But we have started because we have that weekly meeting on Sundays. That's our time to pray together. We pray together probably once a week. And there may be some superstars in here that pray together every day. And I am so about that, and then you need to come to a breakout session for me because I would love to know how to do that better. But that is an area where we have really are evolving, because that praying together is reminding us that we're on the same team, and it's strengthening our marriage in a, to a spiritual depth. Mm-hmm. And then finding rest for each other instead of trying to run after it for ourselves. I feel that way as a mom sometimes. I feel like I have to grab my rest where I can, or like, you know, steal it, you know, just from Lance. Like, well, I don't know if that makes sense or if you find yourself doing that, but I think sometimes I'm just grabbing at rest any chance I get. But when we give it to each other, it is so much sweeter, because then I don't feel guilty for it. When he's like, hey, stay in bed for the morning, and I got Saturday morning routine, and sleep extra long, or read your Bible. Like, those moments where he gives me the opportunity to find that rest, or when he's like, hey, why don't you slip away to Starbucks and go, you know, get some alone time or whatever, and just to provide that rest for me, then I get recharged without feeling guilty about it. But when it's not given to me and I feel like I'm exhausted and I'm grabbing at it at every chance, then it makes us become enemies instead of doing life together and for each other.
Yeah, and I would say that, like, I mean, there, you don't ever want to be in that position where your wife goes, where have you been? Right? And that happens probably all too often for me, and I'm like, restroom? You know, and it's like, yeah, it's just, that's it. I got nothing else. You know, it's just,
how long does it take you in there?
Yeah. So, that's it. We'll stop. The other area that it's been huge for me as a husband to figure out is, man, I can have the best of intentions to go, man, I'm going to bless my wife. I'm going to serve her. Like, hey, go have fun with the friends. And then I have just this hellacious time at home where it's just like, you have no idea what's happened. And for some reason, I feel like it's going to make me feel better to then share. Like, you know, she walks in the door and she's refreshed and she's excited. And I'm like, oh. You know, she's like, how are the kids? I'm like, hell. Like, yes, it was that bad. Like, there was nothing positive, you know. And for her, she's like stepping back in and just going like, great, now I feel bad that I left. And so some of you have felt that before, and you go, oh, that's hard. And so I've been really trying to train myself in that. I mean, we had one time where I let her go out with the girls one morning, and I think it was like coffee and a breakfast and then go hang out. And I'm
are
like,
you telling the Uno card story?
Yeah.
Oh, good. You need to tell that.
Yeah. So I like go, okay, yeah, I got this. It's great. Four kids. Go. And so our kids have really gotten into Legos lately. And so Legos are like in this game cabinet in our front room, and they're just always everywhere. You're always stepping on them. They're always destroyed. And my kids are going, just will you build this again? And I'm like, do you know how hard it is to build it when it's not all in one box? Like, you know, this is hard, but it's like, yes, I'll build it again. And then in confession, sometimes I just play Legos. Like, and man, it's fun. It's fun.
How much longer?
Yeah, and so my kids are like, we're sitting there, we're doing this, and some are playing Legos. I walk in the gaming closet. Riley's in there, and he's like just totally face-palmed himself. And he's like, sorry, Dad. And I look down, and there's Uno cards everywhere. And so I'm like, great, I'll pick up the Uno cards. I go, okay, I got to put Griffin in his bed. So I take Griffin, I put him in his crib, I walk back in, I get to the Uno cards.
Can't just put the Uno cards in the box. Like, you can't just do that if you're Lance. Because
I have issues.
He did. He's awesome, so, but he's super detailed. And what if the wrong Uno cards got in the wrong box?
Well, that's the thing. Yeah, there were actually
can't handle that.
There were actually two boxes of Uno cards, and I was like, oh gosh, we can't have seven red sevens like that. And so I'm sitting there, I'm like, you know, and like laying up. Why that had to happen right there? Like, I should have cheated the Uno box, right? Just quit on it. And so I couldn't do it. So about that time, I'm like, okay, I'll go get Griffin again. The big kids are still doing well. Like, there's just, so if that's any hope, like our 6 and 7-year-old, there's a lot that you're like, kid, you didn't burn your room down. Like, awesome. Like, I haven't seen you in 5 minutes. That's good. And so I run back in to Griffin's crib, and I walk in, and as I get toward the door, I'm like, I do not like the smell of this. And so I walk in, and there's Griffin, huge, beaming smile on his face, poop, smear, like, no kidding, looks like he's, like, done some kind of war paint deal all on his face. So he's war painted out, it's all over his blankie, and he's like, And I'm just kind of like, no. Like, where is your mom? Get home. Like, you know, this is like, so, you know, I put him, you know, I plug him into the bathtub, and about that time I come back in, and I'm like, to the wall, and I'm like, how does this stuff set up so hard and fast? Like, if anyone knows that, like, someone should patent something out, like paint, like that. Like, you'd be like, yeah, put the other coat on, that works. It was wild. But it's just, it's times like those where you go, man, when you allow your wife to have that time away, you don't think that necessarily that that's the worst case that's going to happen. And so when you step into that, like, one, it's okay to share that. Like, I don't think you'd, like, hide the fact that, yeah, he pooped. And then your wife finds the poop later on the crib that you missed. It's like, what happened here? You know, it's like, huh. But you've got to come to a place where you love her well enough, or you love him well enough that you go, okay, no, this, we're good. Like, we're fine. And you go have fun, and you enjoy that rest. So.
But he did get a lot of brownie points for that day. That was big time. It was really good. Just keep pursuing each other. Just have fun. Go on dates. Get out there. Just be together. And I think sometimes we just get caught up in the schedule and the routine and the being with kids that we forget to just go have a good time. You know, I think we went and played Top Golf not too long ago, and I was like, that was just kind of random and really fun for us and something we'd never done before. So whatever it is, just try something new and go on dates. We like to do bi-weekly dates a little bit because we're not all about paying babysitters all the time. Anybody else want to avoid the babysitter payment?
Amen. That's nothing against babysitters. They're great.
Yeah,
so you're a babysitter.
Awesome.
Yeah.
But we like to swap with another family. We just find somebody else that has a whole bunch of kids that can handle it. And I go over to their house every other week and put their kids to bed while Lance stays home with our kids. And she comes to our house every other week and puts our kids to bed so we can go on a date. And that's just really worked well for us because we're not paying anybody any extra money. Our kids are well taken care of, and we're going on dates twice a month, which is incredible.
Yeah, it's good stuff. So for us, like she obviously mentioned, the date night swaps. I mean, game nights. My wife's a huge gamer, so she loves to play games. Baking, cooking together, like things you can do around the house. Like for us, one of the biggest things we've started doing lately is when we put our children to bed. So we put them to bed, and we go ahead, like we'll sit at dinner with them as they eat, but we don't eat. And so we'll put them to bed, and then we're going, okay, where do you want to go? Where I'm going out. I'm going to go grab, what's your favorite drink? Let's go get your food. And the kids are in bed, and we sit down at the table. It's like, wait for it. You know, and it's just, it's silence,
no
right?
No one's talking.
Yeah. This is great.
I don't have to feed anyone else.
Yeah, and you actually whisper, which is funny, too, because you're like, we're going to wake someone up. It's like, wait, what? Why are we doing this? But I think just it's important to have fun together. Like, don't become hermits because you have kids. Like, that's why it's so hard at times, is because you kind of drop off all these other relationships and these friendships, and you need them. Like, moms, like, you need encouragement from other moms who are going, I am in the same fog. I'm in the same mess as you. That's why community is so important, to come alongside you and to say, man, let us love one another well. And so, man, we I think we're running out of time. We're about at 2 minutes, so I think in that, obviously, fight for intimacy. You guys have heard a little bit of that as well, but that changes. It looks different. I think it's important for spouses to understand that from each other's perspective. And then get creative, right? Shower sex has become huge for us, right? Sorry.
Hey.
Is that you? Yeah. But it's just one of those, you're like, hey, we got to clean up, right? And so that works. I think, sorry. It's in the notes, like, hot. Another thing is that, like, on your calendar at work, you can put in a hot lunch, right? And you're saying, like, okay, that's a hot lunch. And no one knows, like, what's a hot lunch? It's like, well, you know what? That's between my wife and I. It's a hot lunch. And so just things like that where you go, like, man, how do we take advantage of that? Man, put on a Dora, right? And just kind of go, all right, lock the door. Go. Great. But the important thing for you as a male is, like, man, we feel so entitled in this issue. We do. We feel so entitled when it comes to this. And so that's going to be your battle. That's going to be where you're going to have to ask other guys, man, please check my heart in this. And I'm loving and serving my wife well.
And the women, we battle the generosity of just giving our time and giving our energy and giving our creativity to that area and realizing that that's such a gift to our husband.
Yeah.
To be selfless.
Which is cool. So As you guys leave, again, it's 1:55. We got to get you out of here and you'll have a 20-minute break. But here's two questions that I would say. As you leave here, like action items, like here's two questions you need to be asking one another. Number one is this. Do you feel cheated? And so that may not be tonight, that may not be tomorrow, but at some point, as couples, just sit down, and this isn't, you know, you're not going in there with guns blazing. It's like, you know, it's like, yeah, I feel cheated, and I'm going to tell you about it. But ask that question, like, do I feel cheated? And then ask the question, what or who do you need to start cheating? What or who do you need to start cheating? And my hope is that'll be a great conversation. My hope is that it's a jumping off point. And for you guys, where you come to that place that you begin to focus on what's important and not just the urgent. And as you guys leave, I'll leave you with a passage out of the Psalms, out of Psalm 128, 1 through 4. And it's going to come up on the screen as well. But it says this, "Blessed is everyone who fears the Lord," or understands the Lord, "who walks in his ways. You shall eat the fruit of the labor of your hands. You shall be blessed, and it shall be well with you. Your wife will be like a fruitful vine within your house. Your children will be like olive shoots around your table. Behold, thus shall the man be blessed who fears the Lord." Right, so if we get this right, right, if we get this right, if we jump out and say, you know what, I am going to choose to cheat, and you choose to cheat the right things, like that's the response, right? That's where we land. And what's great is a hurting world, a lost world, they look in and they see it and they notice it's different. And it opens up a complete new opportunity for you to share the gospel. Let me pray for you guys. We'll get you out of here. Lord, I thank you for this time. I thank you for the opportunity to talk marriage and parenting and, Lord, all things in between. And Father, I pray that we would choose to cheat the right things. Father God, that we would communicate well and intentionally with one another. Father, we would serve one another. That we would see others' needs as more important than our own. And Father God, that we would do life together. Father, we thank you for this time. And Lord, I ask that you just continue to give us eyes to see, ears to hear. Lord, that we would get the log out of our own eye before we pull the speck out of one another. Father, we love you. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen.